Okay, welcome everybody to Norwood Free Methodist Church. Good to see you, and welcome everybody listening online. What I was just telling these beloved people here is, what I have to say today is fairly short, I hope, famous last words, but if you asked me, people do ask me, in the last 6 months, what has created the most impact in people's lives that I've been working with, it's going to be the material I'm sharing with you today. I've touched on some of it before, and the last time I touched on something like this, things went crazy for a couple weeks. People getting a hold of me online, people texting me saying, that's me, help. And a lot of relationships have come out of this, and a lot of people have been set free because of this, because that's what the Lord came to do, right, Bruce? Set the captives free. So let's just dig into this. What's our first slide? Yeah, sure. Oh, that's not it. Do we have the leper? Let's go down. Do we have the Pool of Bethesda? Yes. Here's where we're going to start today, but I'm going to need that to go back to that one. Now, there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Now, I'm not going to labor this, but real quick, guys, sometimes there's variances in the Bible. People go, can we trust the Bible? Is it the same? Some of your Bibles might say Bethsaida, and some of them say Bethesda. And you know what? That's a what was that city called? Right? I don't personally care. Do you, Bruce? It doesn't make me distrust the Bible anymore. Anyway, in this place, Bethesda, which is surrounded by five covered colonnades, and you can see this today, actually. You could go there and see the covered colonnades. A great number of disabled people used to lie. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. Now, the lifespan of a Jewish male at the time was 40 years. So this man had been there for 38 years. When Jesus saw him laying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. Well, I'm trying to get in, somebody else goes down ahead of me. And Jesus says, get up, pick up your mat and walk. At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he did walk. The day on which this took place was the Sabbath. Now, I wish this were more clear. The NIV left out a verse. Did anybody notice that? Probably not. The NIV left out a verse because some of your Bibles, the King James will say, because an angel would come down and trouble the waters and whoever went in would be healed. And what they leave out is that was just a tradition. It was a hot spring. Anyone heard of Old Faithful? Or that's what it was. And so they'd see bubbly bubblies and they'd jump in. Oh, if I got in there first, I'd be healed. Now, were there actual records of people being healed and stuff? I don't know. But this guy was banking everything on it, right? Or so it seemed. But I want to actually go a different direction. We've visited this man before. Last time, I think we called him Joe. We did. We called him Joe, actually. We made up a story of how he had been invalid. It was after the prom, and he and his buddies were racing camels, and he broke his leg or something like that. Thanks, Brenda. Brenda's with me today. And 38 years later, there he is. But I'm going to do a different route today. I'm going to talk to you about double-mindedness. Some of us have an idea of what double-mindedness is, and there's a warning in the Bible. It says this. Do I have the double-mind? What's the next slide? See if I have double-mindedness. If you're okay, there's somewhere in the Bible it says a man who asks for something doesn't believe he's going to receive it. That man is double-minded, and he'll receive nothing. That's out of, I believe, the Book of James. Has anybody ever encountered that? If somebody asks for something but believes not, he's double-minded and he will receive nothing. Is this familiar to anybody? Okay. You ever wonder what that is? Because that's terrifying. People have come to my office and gone, I think I'm double-minded because I don't have enough faith for what I'm asking for. That's kind of what it sounds like, right? I'm going to pick on Bruce today because he's a strong, handsome man. And we're believing fully for healing this chest thing going on. Now, Bruce might wake up and go, I don't really have full faith today that that's going to happen. In fact, I don't even truly know what that is, Marty. What, like, I'm just absolutely convinced? I don't know. How do you quantify that? I don't know. But you could read that scripture that I didn't show you, unfortunately, and you could say, I'm double-minded because I don't truly believe it, so I'm not going to receive anything. And you know what we get? Yes! Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, a double-minded man unstable in his all. Can we go back one verse to six? Let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. He's double-minded. Now, here's what happened to some of us. Some of us read that, Mom, and said, okay, well, there's the back exit. There's my excuse as to why I'm not getting my prayers answered. Do you understand what I'm saying? Brenda, I'll make this simple. The enemy gets in your ear going, you don't really believe it. It's not going to happen, right? People take this on as condemnation, guys. Well, I don't actually have full faith for this, that, or this. But I want to go a different direction with double-mindedness today. And I did my research, but I'm going to stick on one thing. Now, this is where it's going to get hot, okay? The next point is for us. This one's kind of a refining situation. Double-mindedness to me and some other people, including James McDonald, believe this. Double-mindedness is wanting something but not willing to do what it takes to get it. I want something, but I'm not willing to do what needs to be done in order to get it. It's like that dog, that big fluffy dog that's laying there, and there's a treat over here, and he's trying, but he just can't be bothered to... No, I really do want it. I just don't want to get up, right? And so this is where we're going to visit for about, I don't know how long, a couple minutes. I know what I do with this one. Yeah. I'm not going to talk to you about I want to have a size whatever girls want size body. And they're, I don't know. I don't shout. I don't do that. I'm not going to talk to you, Dave. We'll go guy talk. I want to have a six-pack and I want to bench 275 again, but I'm not willing to do what it is. I'm double-minded. We don't need that conviction. We don't need that, you guys. We all know. Yeah, calories count. We get it. We should all exercise more and all that. Deal with it. That's not where I'm going today. I'm actually going to go somewhere way more difficult than that. And I'm going to go into our spirits where real change happens. So how do I want to do this today? All right. Let me show you what needs to be done to have change happen in your life, and then you can decide if you're double-minded or not. Deal? Deal. Okay. Let's go to the first slide, please. This is all I'm going to say. This is not about losing weight and being a better employee. It's not. It's actually about God's truth. But you can choose to lay there, or you can actually really take this in, okay? But remember, one of them is double-minded, and we're not going to get anywhere. Proverbs 23:7 in the Holy Word of the Bible says this: "For as he thinketh within himself, so is he." Other translations say this: "As a man thinketh in his heart, so shall he be." And then it continues on. Now, here's what's sketchy about that, and I shouldn't say sketchy about the Word of God. I take that back. What's weird about that, Bruce, is he hits it and quits it, doesn't he? It's there, and then, like, I'm going to show you a profound truth that you can then decide to be double-minded about or not. And here's the profound truth. As you think inside of yourself, you become, and you truly are. Well, it sounds like self-fulfilling prophecy that I learned about in Psychology 101. Yeah, they kind of caught up to that, didn't they? They said that, yeah, if I think I'm a loser, I'm going to act like a loser, I'm going to become a loser. I get it. That's not where we're going today. We're actually going to go way deeper than that. Double-mindedness. Why would Jesus, who is wisdom, he's not the smartest person that ever lived, that was Solomon. Jesus is wisdom. I'm not smart, I don't have wisdom, I am wisdom, I am the truth. So you can say Solomon's the smartest person that ever lived, because Jesus is wisdom. I thought that was good, because we all trip on that. Why, dear listener at home, why would Jesus walk up to a dude who has no life, whose family has to drop him off every day before work and pick him up after work, who's laying there, obviously would have bed sores and the whole nine from being an invalid, right? Why would he ask him, hey, do you want to be made well? At first glance, this sounds like a silly question. Here's the problem, what I just showed you. It was actually the most pertinent question he could ever have asked him. Do we understand that? Because it was also the way he survived, wasn't it? He asks blind people sometimes too, like, do you want to receive your sight? And sometimes they could have said, like, this is how I make my money, I'm a beggar. You take this away from me, and do you see what I'm trying to say? So he's cleared it up right now. He said, you, are you double-minded? And what's the first thing he does, Stephanie? He gives an excuse, doesn't he? Jesus says to him, do you want things to get better in your life? Okay, now you see where I'm talking to you, and this is a big deal. Do you want things better than mom and dad had it? Do you? And you go, but I don't know. Excuse. And Jesus goes, that's double-mindedness. No, stop. And that's the thing. I'm not coming at that. No, we're going to do surgery today. Do you want things to be better? Yes, Jesus. Okay. Well, you start here. Because as you think about you, so you will become. Are you an invalid, Joe? No, I'm not. I'm a man who's hurt, but I'm not that. Does that make sense? Are you broke? Is that who you are? You're a person who you just can't get ahead. Is that who you are? Some of you would go, yeah, that's who I am. Well, I can't work with that. Because you got yourself in that prison. You've decided who you are, and that's that. Boom. Right, guys? Come on. It's true. And here's the thing. I know I get crazy about this, but if there's one thing that can create so much change in a person's life, and I've seen it happen time and time and time again, and some of you are going, yeah, I remember when I was in the office and this happened, was this right here. If you can understand that, if you can just start to control this, especially when it comes to how you think about you, others, and God, but we're sticking with you today. If you can change that, everything will change. Because the stuff you say will start to change. I said the other day, I said this, I'm such a, and I almost said fool. No. I literally said out loud, I am no fool. That was a foolish thing I just did. I did something like, I almost tried to start the bike in first or something. It's like, oh, what a fool. Whoa, hey. That's not who I am. Because if I think that, I'm going to start becoming that. Otherwise, Jesus wasted his time in saying, do you want to be made well? Did Jesus need his permission? No, Jesus can do anything, and he has. John says that all things were created through him. But if we're locked up in prison over our opinions of ourselves and who we think we are and who other people have told us to be, there is no freeing us. There is no change. You're going to sit there on that treadmill. And again, the last time I even talked about this, lives changed. Change, boom, 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 change. Tears, blood, sacrifice, it all went down. I want off this treadmill, said people. And what I mean by the sacrifice part is this, ready? Are any of us going to be brave enough today to say, I need change? I spend a lot of time pretending I'm strong to people. I am not strong. I need change. I spend a lot of time trying to control things. Inside, I feel really out of control. Maybe it's this stuff AJ's talking about. Maybe it's this double-mindedness in my opinion of myself. Are we good? I'm dancing around it on purpose because I'm really going to hit it now. The life you want, that thing, that future, that relationship. As a man thinketh in his heart. So something occurred to me the other day. And when you pray that God speaks and he starts speaking, you got to receive that it's God. So here's what I'm going to believe. This is a new thought to me, Brenda, ready? Lots of people sit there and they say to me, and I'm not coming at you, me too. And they say to me, well, where is this thing that I wanted? Okay? I've got this thing in my life that I want. I believe God wants me to have it, blah, blah, blah. Or they'll say, why has this always been a problem? Or this, this, this. And here's what I, see if I can make this understandable. Okay. There's two people. Over here is me, AJ. That's my name. Over here is AJ, the AJ that God created me to be. Okay? Over here is the AJ that I've become and believed about myself and all the stuff I've put on me and the expectations I have for myself, others, and God and the way I think life should be and all this sort of stuff. God is communicating and blessing this one here, and this one's just screaming saying, I didn't get your phone call. I didn't pick up the phone. Okay? Why? Why is this not happening? Why is this not changing? I am blessing you, AJ. I'm blessing the real you. I'm blessing you. I'm speaking to you, but you're busy over here covered in all these lies. Does that make any sense at all? People go, well, I mean, we asked for this, this, and this for so long and all that. And God's going, I'm providing it for you over here. But you have turned into this person who you're not picking up AJ phone anymore. You're picking up liar, loser, fool phone. That's what you're doing. All the while I've been communicating with you. And here's the crazy thing about this. You asked me in the beginning metaphorically, AJ, what's the thing that creates the most change? This. If you ask me, AJ, okay, it appears that God is good to certain people and not good to other people. And yet I know that can't be true because it says the Bible says he's no respecter of man. I would say this to you. If there's anything blocking the blessings of God that I've seen in my life, and I'm just giving you my 7-8 years experience here, it's this right here. It's that God is speaking to the real you he created and blessing down this channel, but you're walking out this life and picking up this phone and communicating through this channel because as you think in your heart, you've become, but God's still here. Any sense at all? Or Gideon, oh mighty man of God. Not me. God goes, I got to get you over here answering this phone, man. Do you understand that? Every time God speaks to someone, what does he say? He speaks to who they truly are in him. I can't work with this, Bruce. If Gideon did not let go of that false identity that he had put on himself, because as a man thinketh in his heart, he never would have done what God needed him to do. If Joseph had believed he was a piece of trash that his brothers would throw away, do you think he would have become Zephaniah-Paneah the second? Right? No. That's his Egyptian name. Sorry, it just came out of me. You think he would have become the vice president of the world? No, because he would have been answering this phone over here, the liar, loser, trash phone. And you wonder why that thing is not coming true. God's blessing it. Guys, he is. Because he's good, good father. You sing it. And stop believing it's for someone else. How about you do this? You start believing it's for you, but the real you. Not because dad said you're a loser and you'll never amount to anything. He's blessing the real you. Okay? This is what we're talking about. AJ, what has created amazing restoration and change from someone, let's say a few people in my life that were absolutely suicidal. And here we are 3 months later, and this person is, these people are living more joyful lives than most people I've ever met. 3 months, what changed? That changed. That changed. So I'm going to read you a story, because I'm going to be real dramatic today. I'm going to read you a story. This is from a book called No More Dragons by Jim Bergen. He's a senior pastor of Flatirons. Love it, but I'm actually just reading more about C.S. Lewis in this book. I want to read you something. Number one, I said double-mindedness is wanting something and not being willing to do it. Will you sit here, please, and be honest with you, with yourself for a second as I read this, and maybe you can say me too? Let's read about this guy. The story takes place in a magical world called Narnia, and it's about a boy named Eustace and a few of his friends. Eustace is arrogant, selfish, unfriendly, and generally disliked by almost every other character in the story. During their travels throughout the vast world of Narnia, the children run the ship ashore on a mysterious land. Eustace wanders off by himself, and he actually ends up stumbling upon a cave containing a dragon's hoard of treasure. Eustace, who is a greedy kid, realizes he could be as rich as a king in Narnia if he keeps the treasure for himself. Exhausted from the excitement of discovering the dragon's riches, Eustace falls asleep on top of the towering stack of crowns, jewels, and gold coins. When Eustace wakes up the next morning, he's been transformed into a dragon. He sees his reflection in the lake and realizes he's nothing but a monster. Sleeping on a dragon's hoard with greedy, dragonish thoughts in his heart, he had become a dragon himself, is a quote from C.S. Lewis. See, because here's the thing, guys. In Narnia, if you think dragon thoughts and do dragon things, eventually you'll become a dragon. Eustace is no longer the chubby little boy. He's a monster. He isn't who he used to be. He isn't who he wants to be. He's not who he was created and designed to be. The only friends he has now are actually terrified of him. Eustace is a dragon. This pastor talks about sitting at the edge of a front row seat, listening to this, and his heart starts to pound. He had a feeling it wasn't a story about Eustace at all. It was a story about me. Becoming a dragon is a dangerously sneaky process, guys. It takes a long string of bad choices and decisions and listening to things about yourself and thinking things about yourself. Thinking dragon thoughts will make you a dragon. So back to the Narnia story. Eustace sadly walks into the forest. He's alone, confused, and defeated. He's resigned himself to the fact that he's just always going to be a dragon. And there's no hope for change. This is precisely when he meets Aslan, the talking lion. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia, Aslan represents Jesus, straight up, voiced by Liam Neeson in the movies, too. That's cool. Aslan looks Eustace in the eyes, and he beckons to him. Come here. Fearfully, yet strangely compelled, Eustace follows the huge lion, because he's monstrous in that book, to a mountaintop garden. Standing by the well of clear water, Aslan instructs the boy-turned-dragon to undress. At first, Eustace is confused, but because he isn't wearing any clothes, right? I mean, he remembers he's a giant lizard. But all giant lizards can shed their giant lizard skin, can't they? So Eustace tries to free himself. He painfully tears away at his layers of scales, but underneath is another layer. He begins ripping into the new layer, but underneath is another layer. He continues to repeat the process until he's absolutely exhausted from the pain. He simply can't do it anymore, and he whimpers to Aslan in defeat. Aslan replies, "You'll have to let me undress you." In the rest of the story, Eustace reluctantly and fearfully agrees to let Aslan shed his scales. He lies down on his dragon back, and Aslan plunges his enormous claws into Eustace's chest. The pain is unbearable. But finally, the lion reaches deep into the chest cavity of the dragon. He pulls out a small, trembling boy who's dripping in filth. Aslan then throws Eustace's pale body into the waters of the well, and a few moments later, Eustace breaks the surface of the water and gasps for air. He's no longer a dragon. He's finally the boy he was created to be. He's washed, clean, changed, and made whole. His friends are no longer scared of him. In fact, when his friend Edmund sees Eustace, he exclaims, "You've been, well, undragoned." And that's the end of our story. Now, here's the thing. How many of us have been walking around with layer upon layer upon layer of scales and fully aware that we're not the person that we once were, we're not the person we want to be, and we certainly aren't the people we're created to be. Now, some of us are going to hear, "I've made decisions that have led me to this, to being something I don't want to be." That's absolutely true for some people, okay? I could tell you that in my life. I could tell you when I met who Aslan represents, the Lord Jesus, I remember in light of his goodness, I very much was aware of my lack of goodness in this life. And the choices I made and the selfishness and I fell short. I obviously fell short. That's one absolute thing people are going to take from this story. But the other thing is this. If that little boy wanted a blessing, if he wanted to hear from Aslan, Aslan would have spoken to the little boy, right? He would have sent mail to the little boy's house. He would have called the little boy. But the dragon was busy checking the dragon's inbox, living in the dragon's house. Does that make sense? I'm going back to what I was saying before. I wanted to just keep this metaphor going. Because the little boy believed he was a dragon. When in reality, in Christ and through Aslan, he wasn't a dragon at all. So I want to go back to my original thought, because I want to make sure I'm really understood by this, and I told you I only have 2 points today. So in 2006 and 2007... Well, pretty much from 04 to 07 was my most frustrating years, I would say. And you know what I did? I did what a lot of other young folks do. I screamed at God. I told him what I deserved. I told him how to bless me and all this sort of stuff, okay? I didn't enjoy things the way I should have. I wasn't very grateful, blah, 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 blah. And I was screaming to God and saying, "Hey, I would like a wife and kids. I would like a wife and family. I would like a career. I would like any kind of blessing whatsoever. Father, hello, 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 hello." But here's the thing, guys. The me in 04, 05, 06, that was, okay. I know this is hard. This is profound. But it's, now you see why it breaks things off. It's hard to understand, but once you get it. The AJ in 04 that was saying, "Father, I want a wife and family and these things. I want a life. I want a life," because what I'm living right now is not a life at all. The me that was crying out wasn't actually me. It was the me that I had become based on these choices and lies I'd believed about myself and things other people have put on me. So the real me wasn't even crying out. This distorted version of me was crying out. And I'm going, "God, can you please give me this?" And God's going, hold on. Here it is. Ready? Here it is. I want to give you that, but that version of you will never sustain what I'm going to give you. You can't. Okay, in other words, AJ, the dragon version of AJ that believed the lies and all that, wanted a good marriage. Guess what? If God had given it to that version of AJ, he would have destroyed it. Does that make any sense at all? I had to undragon, guys. I had to undragon. I had to realize, no, I'm not a liar. And just because I've cheated on every relationship I've ever been in, that's not who I am. And the scales fell off me. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, the little boy comes forward, right? As a man thinketh in his heart, I started to believe Jesus about who I was. And I said, "Father, I desire a marriage." And he said, "Ah, there you are. I had that for you way back here, but I had it for you, not dragging you. You bought the lie too long." And so again, you asked me, what's something that's created huge change and really quickly in people's lives? This right here. Because God is not good to Terry and bad to AJ. Why do other people seem to be able to receive blessings and have less of a hard time? Why am I always struggling? Because I think you're answering the wrong mailbox. I think you're asking for stuff that you gotta work on who you are, man. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so shall he be. double-mindedness. We have the suspicion that God really is good and wants to bless us, and we can even say that we almost believe it, but then why don't things change? Brenda, you know what happens a lot of times? Oh, this is good. Listen to this. You want to know something I've learned about motorcycles? This is crazy, and it happened to me. Do not worry. I did not tell my wife, but now she's going to hear it. Okay, so listen. A couple of different things I learned about motorcycling is if I'm going along anywhere above 8 or 10 miles per hour, if I push on the right handlebar, you think I would go that way, right? You're wrong. You push on the right handlebar, you go right. Left handlebar, you go left. It's called counter steering. A lot of people think they're leaning. Leaning doesn't do anything. It's pushing. So that's called counter steering. But you know one of the most dangerous things as a motorcycle rider out there? It's called target fixation. Yes, Dave knows. It's the strangest thing, isn't it? It's the dumbest thing. So yesterday, was I riding? Yeah, I rode yesterday. Yesterday I'm riding. And for 2 seconds, now I'm trying to stay clear and I don't daydream. And that's part of what I like about riding. You're in the moment. You don't get to be ADD, right, Dave? You don't last long. So I'm riding. And the next thing I know, whoa. You know what I did? Just in that amount of time, I looked where I didn't want to go. I looked where I shouldn't go instead of looking where I wanted to go. It's called target fixation. I've watched professional riders cross the yellow line. They just looked over here and went where they were looking. Like, wow, isn't that crazy? Absolutely true. Now, here's what I want to say about our lives. Not look where you want to go and believe. No. Here's what I want to say. Take your eyes off that target. You got to, okay. We get target fixation. Here's what I mean. Okay. I'm trying not to be mean, so or hit too hard. Okay. I'll go superficial. I want a house. Or I want a spouse. Why am I not getting that? In this life, you don't stare at the target. You look at where you're aiming, dummy. Do you see what I'm trying to say? I want that. If I got that, I'll be happy. If I want that, I want that, I want that. Where are you aiming over there? Why am I not hitting that, Bruce? Did you even look where you're aiming? Your life, your thoughts? Does that make any sense at all? But why can't I have the house? I want the house. If I have the house, I'll be happy and all that sort of stuff. And what, are you lined up with what God says about finances and all that? You mean where am I aiming my gun? No. Well, you think you're going to hit a target you're not even aiming at. Yeah. And wait, better than that, you're angry that God didn't give it to you even though you never aimed at it in the first place. Yeah. Do you know how many people that is in this life? Okay, ready? All right, now I'm going to hit hard. I want a good marriage, but I won't go talk to anybody about it. I want a good marriage, but I won't do what she needs me to do. Why did it fall apart, God? Oh, you're so bad, God. Did you ever aim at a good marriage? Did you go talk to people who have the marriage you want? No, you didn't. Did you take time for yourselves? Did you correct the things inside of you? Did you come to me in actual faith, not double-mindedness, and go, I'm really struggling with this. She needs this out of me, and I can't do it. Father, help me. No, I didn't do that. So you didn't even aim the gun at the target, and you're mad at me that you didn't hit it. Yup. Is this good or what? Is anybody getting anything about this today? It's nice out. We can go home. This is what I've seen lives change with, is you just look down. And then you just might hit the target, guys. Guy laying by a well, do you want to be made whole? Because right now, you're not even aiming at that. You're not trusting on, you're not believing. You're aiming it in completely the wrong direction. But I can't get in there and that. And Jesus says, if you get up, if you take up that mat, and you destroy that the evidence of that life you once had. You ever wonder why he said, pick up the mat? The mat was the identity he had become. So he needed to take it and get rid of it and move forward. Do you understand that? That was undragoning. Do you get it? If you pick up that mat, someone's going to come get your spot. Hello. It was packed. Someone's going to come take your spot. You can no longer be that guy. Get up, take up your mat, and walk. And that's this guy going, all right, Jesus. Bang, ding. Hit the target of a healthy man. Oh, go figure. Go figure Jesus knew that. I have a feeling this is bigger than I can do today. This is humongous. This is not self-fulfilling prophecy. This is not shame, fear, control. They're all involved, but they all orbit around this. Who are you? Who are you really? Most of you have no idea who you are. You have no idea the power you have inside of you that God gave you. the overcoming, the more than a conqueror. What's a conqueror do? Take land, or better yet, take back land that the enemy's stolen from you. Right? So there's a piece of advice. I'm gonna try to shut it down. Where am I aiming my finances? Just ask yourself. I'm not even going to tell you where to do it. I'm just going to tell you, look at your gun. Your health. Ooh, that's a good one. Your marriage, your relationships. Where are you aiming that gun? I had to take some serious looks this year about physical health. My physical health was starting to deteriorate, and I had some things I needed to clear out. And I realized I'm aiming my gun at unhealth, at sickness. I gotta aim it the right direction. Otherwise, I'm being double-minded. This is just my story, okay? Putting down an addiction, saying, if I want health in my life and longevity, then I gotta aim in that direction. Otherwise, I'm kind of being double-minded. Father, I pray that you keep me healthy even though I'm hurting my own body. Right? Yucky, that's not nice. I don't even like that I just set it up here. That's a hard reality, okay? I don't. But guys, you know, this is how we get change in our lives. Target fixation. If any of you are saying, I'll be happy if, I'll be happy if, I'll be happy if, no, you won't. I give you my word that no, you won't. Because if you're going to receive that blessing as a dragon, you're going to do dragon things with that blessing and destroy it. It's not going to be real. So my story is this. He spent the next 3-4 years undragoning me. I don't know where, now that metaphor is a thing, apparently. I didn't plan on that. All I had seen is divorce in my family. My relationship with women wasn't the way it should have been, my thought patterns. And God took those scales off me. He said, who are you? I had thoughts before that I was a bit of a chauvinist, things like this, and God undragoned me. Then when it was time, he was able to give me that blessing. Is that good? Do we understand that? Let me see what else I got today. I think that's about it. Nothing will keep you from hitting the target more, getting back to this bullet metaphor, than believing lies about who you are. What do you think in your heart? Ooh, you want to hear the power of your thoughts? This is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. I'm reading a book that Mike gave me, Mike Simpson. It's he's a psychologist, psychiatrist person, but he's getting into neuroscience. So I won't nerd out, but he talks about the way the chemicals in your brain work and synapses gather and why we get stuck in behavior patterns is what he gets. Because when you do this, you release dopamine and this, blah, blah, blah. Okay. But then, you ready for this? This is where I'll close it down. I want to show you how powerful this is. This is a secular example backing up what God said 2,000, 3,000 years, more than that, 4,000 years ago. Are you ready for this? So this orthopedic surgeon, who probably doesn't care about Jesus at all, did this next thing and published it. If anybody, even online, if you really want to look up the study, I will publish it from that person, that book. You ready for this, Bruce? This will blow your mind. I've told you about the Fujiwara Dam experiment. Look that up on quantum physics, how the quanta responds to our words. But this is hard to believe. So this orthopedic surgeon had three groups of people all with the same knee condition. I don't remember exactly what it was, but you can imagine it's something common, okay? He wanted to study the power of our thoughts, especially our thoughts toward ourselves. Ready for this? So I don't know where in the heck this was, because he actually got approved to do this. The one group of people, he performed the knee surgery fully, sealed them up, sent them home. The next group of people, that was the control group. The next group of people, he did half of the surgery, what was necessary to repair that knee fully. Sewed them up, sent them home. The next group, he anesthetized them, pretended to do the surgery, did the cuts, did not fix anything, sewed them up and went home. Do you know that scientifically documented, after 3 months, every single person was fully healed? Every single person was exactly the same. The ones who had the surgery they needed, the ones who got half of the surgery they needed, and the ones who didn't get any repair whatsoever. So then he took it a step further. Then he told them. I mean, you have to, right? Do no harm. And what is that called? HIPAA or whatever that oath? Hippocratic oath. He told them. And you know what they all said? Oh, I don't care. My knee's good. I don't care. Thanks. And there was no regression. What they had believed about themselves, their body got in line and healed itself because it was told, you're healed. And you know what they... Okay, all right, all right. They went into the hospital going, I'm a person with a bum knee. They came out of the hospital, nothing had changed. I'm a person with a healing knee. And then the next day, I'm a person with a healed knee. Huh. I didn't just make this up, guys. This is scientifically documented in a medical journal. As a man thinketh in his heart, so shall he be. It will happen. So let me tell you something, and this is where I sound Looney Tunes, and I don't care, you hired me. If you're sick, don't say you're sick. Declare you're healthy. Come on, doesn't it make sense? I say it all the time, I tell you. I tell it every week. I'm healthy in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Right? I'm potent. I'm fertile. I'm smart. Come on, man. All these things. As a man thinketh in his heart, so shall he be. This is either true for you or it's not. Okay, that's it for today. This week, just really, what are your thoughts about you? And if you can be brave and realize I'm asking for something, not truly believing on it because it's not who I really am, blah, 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 go to God and ask him. Can you show me who I truly am? And start that undragoning process. Get your eyes off the target and the blessing and become who that blessing's for. Oh, that's good. Okay, let's sing a tune. We have Blessed Be the Name of the Lord, right? Blessed Be.